Hello and welcome to Goose Broadcast, the English language Barovka but no podcast that nobody asked for. My name is David.
Congratulations.
Thanks. If I don't use those bloopers, that's my third attempt at that opening. And now I can't. Well, we'll see. It might be a fun outro. So, how you doing? Do you have a somebody who you are? Or?
I would just politely ask Viper Hard Seltzer to start returning my calls.
Is it a very one-sided relationship at the moment?
I could literally get them three customers.
Are two of them you and me?
Well, sure, but I'm already a customer. Today I've got the Viper Hard Seltzer Cranberry. But, you know, I just drink it and I just think to myself, dude, where's the lemon?
Good. Yeah.
Callback.
Yes, I remember trying to introduce that as a catchphrase. It's clearly taking on, seeing as I didn't even remember it.
I've used it three times now, so the record.
Yeah. Aside from the catchphrases, we're going to look at a game against Vyshkov because football happened. We've got the regular other bits. We've got two previews. We've got a callback to Ustinad Labem from a few weeks ago because I didn't find any music, or I forgot to find any music. So
you were talking to me then, Viper. I was messaging you on the way to Usti. Sorry, David.
Well, that's it, basically. So let's talk about Vyshkov, shall we? Mufuka Vyshkov.
Yes.
MFK Vyshkov is who we played on another Friday night.
Is this going to be our new traditional kickoff time, Friday at 5?
Yeah, we've gone from one extreme of the weekend to the other, from 8 p.m. on a Sunday to 5 p.m. on a Friday.
I'm a lot more for this one.
Are you? Are you a Friday at 5?
What I would like to be is a Friday at 6.
Yeah.
I think that would be absolutely perfect. But
This is fine. Yeah, we get the whole weekend and it's not, you know, it's like 7 o'clock by the time we're finished, so we can go and dissect things in the pub afterwards.
Get my weekend ruined nice and early.
Yeah.
Going forward, well, we'll see about that. But
there was a lot to dissect here, actually, wasn't there? It was 2-2 in the end. The main event of the first half was what looked like quite a nasty coming together about half an hour in between Jan Hlavica and Martin Berkovets, which saw the two of them taken to hospital, actually.
Yes.
It was completely accidental coming together, just miscommunication. I think they both went for a sort of chased a ball and, big crunch. And they went...
Yeah, they just both weren't looking at each other whatsoever. I don't know if there was a shout on a different end of the pitch than we were watching from.
Yeah.
Didn't look great.
No, there was quite a delay, wasn't there? 6 or 7 minutes probably,
minutes added time.
Yeah, Hlavica stretchered off, Berkovets looking very wobbly. Like I said, they took them both to hospital. They kept Berkey in for observation. He got a concussion, I think. Hlavica was checked over, sent home. Yeah. Basically okay, so we'll see if he's back in for the Trinets game.
I mean, that's good for Hlavica in the sense that he looked absolutely floored. I didn't think he was getting up at one point.
Yeah, he looked in a lot worse state than Berkey did. Mm-hmm. He was very worrying. Slightly sad that he was the one stretchered off and the crowd were chanting Martin Berkovets.
Yeah,
name,
I felt that was
a little bit harsh on your boy.
I genuinely think it's because not everybody was 100% sure who it was that was on the ground, but everyone knows that the keeper's Martin Berkovets.
Yeah, that's true,
You know, there's no two goalies on the pitch. Well, I mean, evidently, you know, there was.
There was after that, yeah. But other than that, the other event of the first half was Adam Folsek continuing his scoring run and making it 1-0 after 40 minutes. So that was nice.
Tremendously satisfying goal. Mm. I really enjoy it because watching it in real time, it's like a slowed down goal.
Mm.
He just basically stands up, picks his spot, and then just sort of rolls it past Martin Schuster in the Vyshkov goal.
Yeah.
So it's quite satisfying to watch. I'd love to see it in slow motion, actually. I don't think I've seen it in slow-mo.
Yeah, standing up on his hind legs like a couple of Rory Calhouns.
What?
It's a Simpsons reference.
Though. Oh, I should know that. That's...
Yeah. Well, you
don't.
So we go in 1-0 up at half-time. And in the second half, it all goes a little bit bonkers. There's a long ball from Ilko, one of the Vyshkov fullbacks, is headed on by Ahmed Fofana for the recently brought on Marek Winter to score to make it 1-1. And of course, it's a former Zbroja back, of which they have a couple. Mm-hmm. They've got the Winter brothers, Martin Schuster, in goal. And they're managed by a former Zbroja back in Jan Trosil.
Do they have both Winters? I thought they only had Marek.
No, they have Ondra as well. Ondra went first, I think. And Marek, I think, is...
Are you sure? I'm sure there was only one.
No, I think they both played, actually, as well. But either, well, either I'm wrong or I don't care. So, yeah, we may look into that in the break.
Did I just completely miss that in the preview last time?
Possibly.
Both of them was there, because I knew Marek was.
Yeah. Anyway, I mean, we'll check in the break. I might very well be wrong on this.
On the half volley, huh?
Yes.
Nice ball over the top.
All we know is Marek Winter scored, yeah.
Didn't really miss their Burundian international with the 5 caps and the 5 goals this season, huh?
No, they did not.
And he was, I mean, fair play to Marek Winter, actually, because I like it when former players give it the big one. Yes. You know, give it either the cupped ears or the shush or the, you know, hands out. I'm quite into that.
The one you've missed is thumbs over the shoulder pointing at the name on the shirt. That's a good one as well. Yeah. Although, of course, he would have been pointing at a sponsor over his shoulders, I would have imagined, because it's the Czech League.
No names on the Vyshkov shirts,
Yeah.
That's only for the bigwig teams.
Yes. We sort of start to play a little bit. We come back into it. Stett, Morovets, and Fosik again all have chances. Mm-hmm. Looks like we might nick it. We're sort of doing okay.
Yeah, I think that for the good 5 minutes, we're on the ascendancy. Five, ten minutes.
Yeah.
We're on the ascendancy towards the end of the match.
Yeah, and then on 84 minutes, the ref blew for what initially looked like a free kick right on the... right on the right angle of the of the box. Mm-hmm. Everyone kind of went, oh, that's not a free kick, yeah, sort of, okay. And then it quickly became apparent it was a penalty, apparently, mm-hmm. which was it?
Hmm. If it's a foul, it is. It's on the line.
Is it?
Yeah, I've watched the highlights back.
Right, okay.
I watched the highlights back about 10 times during my lunch today because it's one of those ones where you're just like, And I'm not entirely sure. And they don't show it in a slowed down on the Chete Sport replay. It's just Marek, I think it's Marek Winter again going down.
And then
the commentator just going, ah, the penalty! And I'm like, well, okay, can we get some analysis here maybe? But like, the issue with it, right, is that it's just one of your sort of heel clips. And Winter goes down as if he's just been sort of hit in the groin. I think it's like heavier than any sort of contact, which was really slight. But if it is a foul, it is by the letter of the law penalty.
Yeah, okay. It was Marek Winter, you're right. And the man himself picks up the ball, puts it on the spot, and thump, it's 2-1. Yeah. So, yeah, that was on 84 minutes. So we decide to throw the kitchen sink at Vyshkov. We'd already made substitutes. Obviously, Slavica and Berki had already gone off. The bench was looking a little bit thin. There was no Kubaryznicek for this game. We forgot to mention earlier.
Picked up a lot of
cumulative yellows, so he was suspended for this one. An unlikely hero arrives in the form of Lukasz Rogozhan, 18 minutes into his debut appearance on 90... What was it?
It's 89, technically, by 89, the clock.
Well, yeah. But
I feel the celebration spill over to the 90.
Yes. But he comes in to make it 2-2 and hashtag scenes. So, yeah.
I don't know. I mean, if you mean scenes, being like, oh, thank fuck for that.
Yeah, then, scenes.
Then
absolutely,
yes,
yeah.
That's the thing. Of course, your B-team player who was, I believe, up until about 4 or 5 weeks ago in the Vyshkov squad.
Good.
As part of a loan thing, then came back to the B-team. And has now stuck it up his former teammates with. I think it's a really good goal. Mm. Actually, like so, it's he should get the cliches out already because there's no Trezniček on the pitch. It's like who else but Adam Fosek, who puts a wonderful ball into that sort of into the middle edge of the box. And he does so well to sort of get his head on it in one of these sorts of, it's a proper diving header.
Yeah, yeah.
And the fact that he gets a connection on it at all is a miracle. And then it's one of those ones that's really quite difficult for goalies because it bounces on the way in. So it just goes, ba-dung, and it just completely outfoxes Schuster. And that was sort of that.
You see, you say outfox is Schuster, a child's escaping balloon get outfox.
I don't, but you said that. Can we?
He had an alright game, actually.
I mean, he made some fantastic saves.
He had a decent game, irritatingly.
Like, there was a couple of times that he pulled out some really good saves in this game, because I thought that actually going forward, even without Szczesniczek, we were okay at times.
Yeah. I think second half in particular, I remember him being.
I think Stepanovski has this rasper that he does really well to sort of just get anything on,
yeah,
and turn it around. So, like, I think that it's just a curse, isn't it, of a player coming back to a team and then just like putting on a really good performance.
Yeah,
It was ever thus. But I mean, we could have possibly won this game if we'd remembered that you see when you have a striker out who scores most of his goals with his head, you might want to change your tactics around when he's not on the pitch.
Yeah.
Was my thought.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, it was playing exactly the same way without a target man. Playing with a target man without an actual target man is not necessarily the way forward in this. But 2-2, we sort of said, like, after having gone 2-1 down and getting the last-minute winner against a team who are banging form,
they're the
we were sort
team.
Of okay with that,
weren't
we? That
was
fine.
Informed team in the division,
fine.
Besides, yeah, from ourselves. I think we're first and they're second.
Yeah.
Like,
that's
they've
fine.
Been great.
Yeah.
Like, let's just, you know, for the avoidance of doubt, in the last... Well, now it'll be six games, right? In the last six games, they've won four, drawn one, lost one. And when they lost, it was a 3-2 to Sparta B, who have also been pretty good recently.
Yeah, and also, of course, this is a team that's new to this league this year as well.
Unknown quantity.
Yeah. So.
But it's also a team where half the squad knows exactly how we play because they were once in the dressing room in the home end.
Yes. What was also interesting, in that raft, I believe is the correct word, of substitutions in the second half, there was the return of a particularly familiar friend. For me, anyway. Do you want to hear from him?
I'm going to go now.
No, you're not. You're going to suffer through it with the listeners.
I'm getting more drunk.
It was a fine autumn in the year 1969, and Czechoslovak football star Tomáš Souček was granted leave to visit home. He hadn't seen his homeland since being dishonourably discharged from military service just before the invasion of the previous year, and had been banished from the country and forced as punishment to play for West Ham United. He was curious to see what had changed in the time he'd been away, and so, after an arduous journey, he arrived presently at the house of his friend, one Jakub Alexeyevich Černín. Upon opening the door, his friend greeted him warmly. Tomáš, it has been so long. What news of the West?
How is he still Russian?
Because that's the law, all right? L-O-R-E, not L-A-W.
Oh, you're going to have to do a Tomáš Souček compression now, aren't you?
Well, I don't know how he talks, but he's going to now. Sorry, what news of the West? Tomáš smiled. Ah, I can tell you what was meant as punishment is a revelation, my friend.
Oh, is he the mouse from Ratatouille?
Shut up, right? A revelation, my friend. I have gifts for you. Here, a tub of jellied eels. And look, a 45 RPM record of I'm Forever Blowing Bubbles by famed singer Vera Lynn. Oh, I am a rich man, Jakub. But I forget myself in my excitement. Tell me about yourself, my friend. Tell me everything. Jakub Alexeyevich looked up at his friend and replied, well, I can't complain.
It's always the build-up, isn't it? And then it just lets you down so much
bit.
At the end.
Yeah. So much effort for such a nothing of a punchline.
You missed such a trick not giving him a Cockney accent. Hello, mate, it's Tommy Souček.
Tommy Souček. Oh, well, next time he guest stars, maybe he's learnt more Cockney.
And I also like the insinuation there that basically they're not paying Tomasz Soucek anything except
a big tub of jelly deals and Vera Lynn records.
It's like his career spilling over to the 80s. Like, oh, look, cover is real denim. Oh, God. Yeah.
Anyway.
Honestly, and I mean this in the nicest possible, because I don't want to hurt anybody's careers or anything like that, but I don't want fucking Jakub Chernin playing for Zbrojovka ever again.
When he came on the pitch, I was overjoyed. And you nearly hurled yourself down the stadium steps in sheer despair.
That was gonna be, because you gave me that look, as in that, you know what, sort of look, and I was like, fucking, just no, come on. Do people actually like this part of the podcast? Can like people tweet in to say if they like the stories of Jakub Aleksejevich Chernin or not? Because I mean, I'm up for a Saudi backed takeover of the podcast if.
I will welcome public opinion.
And then ignore it.
Yes.
I mean, this is the problem when you're the guy with the mixer and all the equipment and things.
Yeah, like I can record this after you've gone.
You can take your ball almost literally and go home.
Yes.
Please tell me what's next.
Well, on the list, actually, I felt like you would need a drink after that, so it was beer of the podcast, but you just poured yourself some real cider.
I needed a drink for this because I just...
Okay, in that case, shall we do a preview of Trinets?
Let's do a preview of Trinets.
Okay.
Preview.
A preview. Trinets. Right, Trinets preview.
Yes, so in the words of Lindsay DePaul and Mike Moran's Eurovision entry for the United Kingdom in 1977, where are we?
Rock bottom.
Rock bottom. 7 points through 11 games, scoring 9 goals in the process.
And conceding 27? 26? 27? It's a lot, I know that.
I just have done in my notes most.
Yeah, it's like 27, I think. It's a lot.
Yeah, they've conceded the most and they've scored the least, and we've scored three times as many, or over three times as many as them. So that kind of shows you the gap here.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the first win was against Opava back in August, and they've had to wait over a month to beat Žižkov, who look in real trouble and just lost their manager today because...
Yeah, they're only two places above now, aren't they? 14th, I think, Žižkov?
They're a point above.
Yeah.
That's, I mean, really worrying times. So, I mean, they've won... Trinets have won twice this season, and it's kind of... That is generous in some ways, to be honest. Like a lot of places of this sort of type, this is a hockey town. Right.
Yes, it is.
So you have Oselashi, who have won, I think, in the last three seasons, two championships.
They are one of the post-communist sort of forces of Czech ice hockey, aren't they? Mm-hmm. They're a big deal for a pretty small town as well. It's not a big place, Trinets, really, but it's hockey through and through, though.
Yeah,
very successful hockey team.
The club has never really been more than the battling second or occasionally third tier team in recent years. You'd have to go back to season 1975-76 to have them in the top flight.
Right, okay. So,
and I was looking at that and I was surprised they were ever in the top flight, frankly.
Yes, I didn't even know they were. That's, remarkable work.
But I mean, just a low to average sort of second tier team, really. So like in the last six seasons, they've broken the top 10 once.
Mm.
And the other times it's been 9th, 10th. They were 13th last season. And... by all accounts, that their squad wasn't great last season, and it sort of seems to have gotten worse,
right?
Potentially, so because David Gatch,
yeah,
former Zbrojovac David Gatch, we all remember him, has gone to Senica,
mm-hmm.
And then you had like people like Christian Atta Jr. as well, who played like 21 times last season. And I think he scored like once or two.
Yeah.
And the fact that he's gone to Spiška Nova Ves in the Slovak third division.
Yeah, says a lot about the... Yeah.
You've had two senior players transfer to... I don't know the level.
Right.
Austrian league. But I mean, once where you go on transfer market and they have a squad of like eight.
Right,
and you don't know where. And
some,
it's...
some like semi-pro regional mountain league side or something. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's one of these sorts of things. And then like a couple of the good ones went. So like Janos Chin went to Opava. Actually, saying that Opava haven't been that good this season either. So obviously, again, as with maybe like a Varnsdorf, you're looking at a team that if bringing anyone in, it's going to be freezing loans, right?
Mm-hmm.
Actually, the opposite of Varnsdorf, because Varnsdorf have done it very well.
Yeah.
So, I mean, okay, like there's one player maybe, or potentially two, that are maybe okay signing. So like David Klusak, who you might remember, who's come free from Blansko, but he's a really well-seasoned, competent second-tier defender. So, I mean, you're looking at who's he played for? I think he's played for Jihlava, he's played for Mastaborsko, he's been
an
around...
absolute second division CV, yeah.
He's a jobber, basically. Yeah. He's a second-tier jobber. And then you have, like, Michal Petran, who...
Yes, yeah, that name rings a bell. I can't remember why.
Because
he's
a regular starter for Karvina.
Right, okay,
fair
enough.
Don't ever confuse regular starter for Karvina as being good, because I think he scored, like, three times the season before last. He transferred last season to Pardubice, and then basically spent half of the season out, the second half of the season out with injuries. So he's come on loan, and he will score you four goals a season as a centre forward.
Mm.
I mean, I think he's more of a sort of a get the ball build up play sort of a person. It is his goal that gave him 3 points at Žižkov, which is something. But really, like. You'd be, and we'll go into these previews at some, you know, later in the podcast, but I'm trying to think of a worse, there's no surprise that them and Hrudim are sort of around the bottom, because potentially they have the two worst squads in the division. I thought this about Mastaborsko as well, though, and Mastaborsko have been fine, so there's got to be something about it there. If you'd like the good positive thing,
singular.
Yeah, they play 4-4-2. Hey, yay. real formation. But basically, we sort of know what we're doing there, right? So it's going to be, is it 10 o'clock, 10:15?
10:15.
On a Saturday.
We're not going, by the way. This is one of the few we're going to miss this year, because it's 10:15 and on public transport, it is a nightmare to get there.
I've got a team building on Friday night.
So. That's yet another reason then.
So, and I'm going to be drinking. Viper, hard seltzer. But they'll be looking for a point, Trinets. They're going to set out, they're going to see a team like Zborovka, right? And they're going to go, right, I mean, we're outgunned here, lads. And if I know anything about Trinets, and, you know, don't confuse these words from the internet listener as being any sort of authority, they're going to be really stuffy, and they're going to try and just stifle all play, and they're going to be holding out for a point. And that has been something that's worked pretty well for them at home against Borovka in the past. It worked so well once that they ended up winning.
Yes.
So,
Who
scored that winner?
David Gach.
And he's not there. So, hey. You know, Senica's gain is everyone else's loss. But
everyone else's gain.
I'm going to make a bold prediction that Kuba Rezniček is going to come back into the squad for this one.
Yeah.
And we're going to have a lot of balls into the box.
Yeah.
But I will be in bed.
Right.
Any thoughts on Trinets?
Very few.
Fotbal Trinets.
Very few. I blame their lack of form on changing the badge.
Do you prefer the badge or do you not?
I actually prefer the badge.
It's one of the weird newer badges that doesn't look fucking terrible, isn't it?
I quite like it. It's funky, but I feel it's cursed them on for no other reason than that kind of thing. I think curses people, but yeah, it's just my bad voodoo. So yeah, I like it though.
It's a weird place to go though, isn't it? Like Stadion Rudolf Labaye, because you go to they've got this perfectly sort of good stadium that's kind of like
big
one of these
athletic stadium thing,
and then you walk past that basically like round the back to where they've got this one stand wander.
Yep.
Where they look like they're doing most of their stuff these
days.
Yes,
it is. It is one stand down one side, a clubhouse on the left hand end as you're looking at the pitch. A line of trees behind the goal on the right, and on the far side, a BMX track, which is excellent. So that's lovely.
What I think is the only thing to do in Trinets. So.
Yeah, you're either down the well, closed minds. Eating a kebab or riding your BMX. These are the things to do in Threenet.
Anyway. Bicycle, my excellent bicycle.
Anyway, that's Threenet. Would you like to hear a little bit of music from an equally industrial town?
Absolutely.
Now, this is just a quick little musical interlude, because I forgot to do this for our Usti Nad Labem match report, or What's the Deal with Usti, last time. We did explain quite a lot about What's the Deal with Usti, and if you've been with us for a couple of years, you'll know, because we're sort of quite good advocates for the city. We like it. But I did miss out on playing a bit of music from Usti. There are, you know, it's a fairly decent-sized city, so there are a fair number of bands on Bandzone. A couple of the ones whose names I liked but didn't make the cut are Captain Krabs.
Right.
It's just
is
one.
Is it K Captain K Krabs?
Yep, that's right.
Oh, really?
Yep.
God. It's just too predictable sometimes, isn't it?
Glasgow Kiss. Which...
No.
No. And Fanny. I'm saying no more.
What's the band you've chosen, David?
The band I've chosen... I can barely bring myself to say it. Are called Pussy Pumpers.
Oh, come Sam. On. No, they're not. You've made that up.
No, they genuinely are, I'm afraid.
Pussy Pumpers.
That's right.
They're like balloon artists or something, right?
They only have 3 songs online that are downloadable. Each of them are between 17 and 30 seconds long.
Are they a thrash band?
They very much model themselves on Napalm Death.
Oh, okay.
And actually, I'll play a little bit of each because they're all exactly the same song.
Okay.
This first one is called Carnage. So that's that. Here's a small sample of the charmingly named Deflorata Ribi Vagini. And here's Kirani Ložního Prádla. So I think we've got a pretty solid idea of what they're about.
I've seen lots of bands like that before in my life, unfortunately.
Have you seen ones that play that type of music where if their picture is anything to be believed, they're just middle-aged men in like 80s sportswear?
Yeah, I mean, that's the kind of thing that a lot of these bands go for.
Yeah. So, you know, that's a bit of Usti's, you know, industrial heritage, portrayed in a musical form. Happy with that, or
does it make you want to deflower fish vaginas? Is the question.
It does not. It does not. To be fair, I can't think of anything that would.
Do fish have vaginas?
You know what?
Zbroyovcast@gmail.com if you know the answer, right?
Yeah. There's that.
Do fish have vaginas? Our friend's electric. Is this my beautiful wife?
No such thing as a fish vagina.
A fish vagina called Wanda.
Right. Right. There's that then. Would you like to do...
Yes.
Bring the podcast or Hot or Not?
I'm not sure. We really need to start deciding this before we go
well,
blazing
you see,
into the
I've
show,
messed up my running order now. So,
all right. Well, what would you like? Would you like to drink or would you like to talk?
I'd like to do both, but I'd like to drink first.
Okay. Viper Hard Beer of the Podcast.
So Sam, it was your choice this week, so tell me.
Where's the lemon? Well, this time from Viper Hard Seltzer, David, we've got... No. I thought we hadn't done Duck and Dog on this...
Have we never done Duck and Dog?
I don't think we've done a Duck and Dog.
Which remarkable.
Is an in vogue, yes. Crafty, beady place here from Reichrad, if I remember correctly. So we have British Steel.
British Steel, really?
Which purports to be an English pale ale, David.
Well, we'll see about that, won't we?
It's got words on the back.
Yeah.
I see the words kvetinove and citrusove. So if you know what those mean.
Flowery and lemony. Well, citrusy, I guess.
Yeah. 4.5%. I'm hoping that this is actually a sort of an English pale ale in the traditional sense.
Can I see the label? Now, I like Duck and Dog's kind of iconography. I think their labels are very cute. This one is very sweet. Because normally it is a duck and a dog, like, on a boat. This time they're on, like, a steamship with a Union flag that's not...
I believe from the 1600s.
Yeah, which is not today's Union flag, i.e. the Saltire is unpolluted with the red running through the centre of it. But yeah, it's very cute. Yeah.
Duck and dog in real, da brewery.
Real buddies beer.
Real
you and he were buddies, weren't you?
I don't know why it's called Duck and Dog. Every time I think Dick and Dom when I see this. The real double act.
Yeah. Anyway, yes, I'm intrigued by this, so let's have a go. Ooh, God, it smells almost vanilla-y. That's odd.
Oh, it's like they've infused it with fucking potpourri, man.
Oh, God, yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah, that's... Yeah. Right. You know, okay, the best way I can describe it is, right, it tastes how the driver's cab of a steam train looks without the lovely smell of steam. So imagine chewing on a piece of coal that's in it, like, with very, very grimy hands. That's how this tastes.
Feel this to me. I feel there's notes of magic tree in here somewhere as well. Is it called British Steel because, like, everyone responsible for it's going to be out of a job soon?
I've never come across a beer where what it smells like and what it tastes like are so far removed from each other. That is unbelievable, and not in a good way.
I can't drink that. That's awful.
No, that is terrible.
God, and it was 130 crowns of terrible as well.
Ugh.
I mean, for their first outing on the podcast, Duck and Dog.
They've absolutely tanked there, haven't they? That is...
English pale ale.
It's shockingly dry. That is absolutely shriveling your tongue up dry as well. It's so...
It's what I would just call an untrustworthy beer. Is the only way to sort of describe this. I don't know that Duck and Dog are held in quite high esteem.
Yeah.
Amongst the craft community here, but so I don't know if this is just like what they do or if this is just a rare miss for them. But
generally, they're pretty good. I like their stuff normally.
Because I've never even had a Duck and Dog because it's not my sort of beer at all. But they do.
There's sort of bits of sort of dark chocolate in there as well. Now I'm getting the taste of it, but it's still... There's something in there. I can't quite put my finger on it, and it's really annoying me.
Putting this over here for you, because I'm not... Get out of my sight. At the same time, I bought this really nice dry cider there.
Yes, you did. For the same price as well. You can get back on that then, can't you? Because that's proper cider you've got there, haven't you?
You know? Yeah. So it's not all bad news, but still. Oh,
yeah.
Not very good buddies, obviously. Oh,
no. Anyway, well, that's a knot. Yes. Should we get some others out of the way and done, shall we? We've got some hearts and some knots too. It's what listeners demand. So here's the part of the show where... It's come up on my plan. I called you up in Veveri. I said, Sam, stand by the jams. And if you don't like what we're gonna do, you better not stop because we're coming through. Bring the beat back. Hey, hey. That's it.
No idea, David.
I've been listening to this band a lot recently. That is the KLF.
Oh, yeah, I would never
guess. Justified Ancients of Movement. Mainly because I've just finished reading Bill Drummond's memoirs. And very interesting and fun they are too. So
very strange. All I really know about, my friend Corin's really big into them, and I've seen clips of them burning £1 million.
Yes.
Did they also do like Doctor in the TARDIS?
They did, and that was what gave rise to Bill Drummond writing the book The Manual, or How to Have a Number One Hit Without Even Trying, which secondhand copies are now going for £350 a pop.
Mad.
It is apparently the definitive guide to how to write the perfect pop song and, how to have a number one when your alter ego is a Ford Galaxy 500 police car. So there we go. It's hot or not.
Did you know that Bill Drummond has subsequently said that he regrets burning £1 million?
I'm sure he does.
Who'd have seen that coming?
Yeah. He was on Jura. I know that.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
He was on something.
Hot or nots. One each?
One hot, two nots.
Ooh, that's good, because I've got one not and two hots.
Oh, okay, good.
How exciting. I'll start with a hot. Mm-hmm. It's a very, very quick one. And it is Torino going to Napoli, losing the game, but taking the opportunity to fill the luggage area of their team coach with about 2 tons of mozzarella. There's photos on Twitter.
Oh, fantastic.
Of just like all the like team's kit in their kit bags in one half and then just a fuck ton of mozzarella in the other half. Fair play. Yeah. That's a hot. Do you want to give us a not if you got two knots?
Okay, I did have two knots. I had one knot up until about 2 o'clock this afternoon. And then I realised that in the Europa League, Celtic and Ferencvaros kicked off today at 3:30 p.m.
Yeah.
3:30 p.m. on a Tuesday, Europa League.
Mad.
What the fuck?
Yeah, no, that's awful. Down with this sort of thing. Against modern football, etc. Can I preemptively say, is your other not Stephen Glass's Aberdeen?
It's not, actually. I was very close to do it. It's got even worse now because Dave Cormack, the Aberdeen chairman, went on BBC Sports Scotland sounding like he'd had 3 bottles of wine in his house in Florida, basically justifying why Stephen Glass is great because he's his mate.
Right.
That's Aberdeen, who haven't won in, I believe, 10 games now. We've lost 5 in a row.
Okay.
A relegation fight on Stephen Glass's hands.
Mm.
Like I said already on social media, first 4 games and it was a gas. Soon found out had Stephen Glass.
Indeed.
Not good. Not right. Good. So if anything, 3 knots, David.
Okay. I've got a knot for you.
Yep.
And it is the oddly named Traditional Derby.
Okay.
First versus second in the Slovak League. Spartak Trnava versus Slovan Bratislava abandoned after 15 minutes.
Yeah, this was a fucking shit show, wasn't it?
Yes, due to appalling violence from both sets of fans. Dreadful photos on social media going around of somebody absolutely poleaxed on the ground and just other lads stamping the shit out of him. Like, really, really dreadful violence. Explosives being hurled at each other and, you know, weapons apparently being drawn or, you know, bits of stadium being... It was a right calamity. Yeah. Normally I would say scenes people say, like, scenes we don't like to see, but we kind of do. But that only means, like, dog on the pitch.
Yeah.
These are genuinely scenes we don't like to see.
This is like when it was at Benfica where you had the lads basically bust into training with iron
Sporting.
Bars.
Sporting. Yeah.
So like, sort of stuff doesn't sit right
that
with me.
That is a genuinely not kind of a not.
Yeah.
You had a hot.
Yes. Right. Well, following on from that, my hot is Samyun Hot Chicken Ramen.
Right. Is that a blues singer?
No. So, you know, Samyun Hot Chicken Ramen. So it's the one, it's the packet of noodles and it has the cockerel on it, or the chicken with the flames going out of his mouth, and it says, hot chicken ramen. And you go, ah, it's not that hot. Best not that hot. Fuck me, it's hot. I had to have a lie down after having a packet of them today, and I almost missed a meeting.
It's not a football related hot, it's just literally a hot.
You know there's videos where cunts like are on the internet and they go, oh, you know it'd be a laugh eating a ghost chili.
Yeah.
And then they're they start sweating and then their nose goes and then they go, oh, make it stop, and then they have to like eat loads of ice cream. That was pretty much like what was happening today.
Wow.
Because I know for a fact that Samyun hot chicken ramen is hot because I've had it several times before. And I got the one that said hot chicken ramen light.
Right.
Which you think is going to be less spicy, wouldn't you? No, I just got the reduced calorie one.
Okay.
So, yeah, this was not good today. But let me tell you, it's hot chicken. I think my chili tolerance is okay.
Mm-hmm.
Hot.
Okay.
It's hot.
I'm going to have a crack at that, I think.
Oh, I think you'd enjoy. They do one that's not as hot, but still hot, but really good, is they do a masala one.
Okay.
Which is fucking unbelievable.
All right.
So, yeah, I'm a big fan of the noodles, but don't eat them in your lunch break, man. Like,
all right. Okay. That was odd. So you've got a knot left?
Yes.
Right. Give me a knot because my hot is unfucking believable.
Okay, mine is artificial atmosphere at football.
Good, good knot.
So what, unfortunately, like many people from where I'm from, I sat through Scotland against the Faroe Islands on Tuesday night, and boy was that dreadful. But what made it even worse and made me start to resent plucky challengers, the Faroese, is that they seemed to take what can only be described as a brass band into their, into their stadium, which every so often just went into like musical numbers, not even ones that could, you know, you could chant around. It's just lads having to go na 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 with like a fucking trumpet in the back.
Right.
And it was really reminds me of my least favorite sort of football group ever, which is of course
the England band.
Just awful. And then it also reminded me of all these other bullshit things that you have at the football, like Celtic's disco lights, when there's a European tie on that has, you know, these sort of weird spotlights and stuff. Just go in and just like sing.
We're not America. Stop it.
I mean, I just have a big problem with it. And you can make your own atmosphere. I mean, I don't even sit easy with drums, frankly. I don't think you need a drum at football. I think if you have a good voice and you have backs of seats and stuff like that, you make the atmosphere. No one wants to hear your fucking clarinet in an international qualifier, man. Jesus Christ.
All right.
So it made a bad game even worse.
All right, fair enough.
And honestly, when Lyndon Dyke scored in the 87th minute, I stood up and just went, up you, to the Faroese stand, not even looking at the rest of the pitch.
All right.
Pricks.
Well, that was vociferous. Right.
Hit me. You've built this one up.
I've got a hot. Right. How would you like Garth Crooks hiding in your house for 2 days? Or, for that matter, Lee Dixon?
What?
Or Jason Donovan, Mylene Klass, Charlie Dimmock, or Colin Jackson?
Is this my nightmare? Is this my nightmare come down with me?
No, it was a 2006 CBBC show called Hider in the House.
Garth Crooks.
Yes, yeah. Episode 10, Garth Crooks.
Do kids know who Garth Crooks is?
No! This is amazing, right?
Please continue.
Okay, so this is a show that it's on CBBC in 2006, and the premise is that a family applies for the show, but one parent thinks they're applying to be on like a sort of serious, like sort of 7:30 PM BBC One. Oh, here's a documentary about your average middle class family sort of thing. But secretly, the kids and the other parent have to hide a celebrity in their house for 2 days and perform random tasks without the other parent knowing.
Celebrity doing a lot of heavy lifting here. Reel off the list of names again. There was Garth Crooks, Mylene Klass.
Yeah, Lee Dixon. I don't know why he decided he fancied being involved.
Like, Lee Dixon after he'd finished up his football career, right? And I think that's Mylene Klass after like...
After Hearsay had been and gone.
And everyone just knew him now as that whiny fucking Waitrose wifey.
Charlie Dimmock. This is clearly after Ground Force had died a death. Or Olympic hurdling type Colin Jackson.
The only thing that could have made that even worse.
There were many more, by the way. There's like 16 episodes of this.
I like the idea. I like the idea of like Mark Lawrenson hiding in your airing cupboard and then forcing you to make predictions. You're quite good.
Yeah. I've been in many an airing cupboard, and this one really doesn't do it for me, to be honest. Really doesn't do it. Disappointing. I find it disappointing. I don't really know where the laundry's going to go from here. So
that's great.
Yeah.
That's my Garth Crooks under your bed with a pad and pen doing his team of the week.
Yeah. Fuck. Seven attackers.
I mean, you know what's going to happen after this, because we're going to pause this and then go into the next segment, and we're going to pause this for a damn long time while I watch Garth Crooks hiding in some woman's house.
Anyway, that's hot or not. We are going to do a preview of Drum and Bass Vashin.
I don't even care anymore.
Only after
we've
watched a bit of Hider in the House. We'll be back after this. Right, after the joy of watching Hider in the House briefly, that was odd. Yeah.
Yo, yo, what up? My name is Ben, I'm nearly 13.
Good. Yep, it's that kind of thing. We are going to talk briefly about Kool and the Gang Vashin.
Yes.
Which is fun. I hope you've got a list of something and something things to go with Vashin.
I forgot, but no, after putting my back out on the... on the heavy lifting that is the Three Nets preview.
Yeah.
I just sacked this one off because you said you might do a bit of it, so...
I've got two notes, so that's good.
Oh, okay, right. All right, well, the thing about Shanks and Bigfoot Vashin is that they've caused us real problems in the past, haven't they? They were pretty much our bogey team for a long time. And I think because we ended up... We didn't beat them in three games over our two-season spell last time. And then we ended up thumping them like 4-1, I think, on the last game of the season when it was all for nothing.
That's right,
like that.
Yeah. That sounds about right,
So we sort of got that monkey off our back. But annoyingly, they look competent again, David.
Yeah. When it comes to Thomas and Friends Vashin, they've got a very similar league record to Vishkov. They're not in as like similar form, but their win-loss-draw column looks almost identical, and their goals for and goals against are very, very similar as well. So
they're a plus. They're a plus on the goal side, aren't they? They are. I mean, the one thing is that they're seventh, which is okay, but they're third in the league for goal scoring.
Yeah,
22 goals, big,
including. And I've written this guy's name. I've written Danger Man.
Yes,
Denis Aligaić, 18-year-old Bosnian forward with 6 goals in 10 games. Oh, he was joint top scorer for a little bit in the league. Mm-hmm. Now I think it's the Little Butcher again, but he's definitely absolutely slamming them in. So
yeah. The thing that worries me a little bit about Vashin is that Vashin have played a chunk of decent teams so far.
Pick and mix Vashin.
They've beat them as well. They thumped Lishan. They thumped Lishan 4-1.
Yeah.
And Sparta B as well, which a lot of teams, you know, we discussed before, a lot of teams are finding Sparta B a tough nut to crack.
They are, yeah. This is going to be at home as well, because we're playing Three Nets first.
Mm-hmm.
And then we've got Godly and Cream Vashin. Again, I think it's probably going to be another Friday night, 5 o'clocker, I think.
Yeah, no, I think it is on the website. I'm just very glad that we're playing Marks and Engels Vashin at home, because I think this is a really important run of couple of games that we've got here, because these are games that we're expected to win. In Three Nets' case, it's almost like an automatic sort of must win. And the good thing is that we do have that cushion of points. So we were able to take a knock against Vishkov.
Yeah, so if we do over Flansburg and Linnell Vashin here, then that's at least got us, again, a little bit of a bump, because the week after, we're away to Dukla, who, although a little bit wobbly, it's still away in Prague,
that's
which
be
we're
a
historically not very good at.
That's going to be a humdinger, and that's going to be an awful game, because Dukla Prague don't score, but they tend to eke out results.
Mm.
And again, it's Borovka in Prague, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, I mean, really, you know, getting one over Keenan and Kel Vashin is going to be a big thing here.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, we said we didn't have much for that. So
and as it surpassed yes, we didn't.
Is that was good? What was that?
I don't know.
All right. Okay.
Yeah. Yes.
Yes.
Baddest
will.
Yeah. So big couple of games. I think probably for the team, but I mean, I would caution against people dealing in absolutes here. Like, I saw a lot of people were like absolutely just like dejected after the Vyshkov game, and it's like, well, we're gonna drop points, you know, we're gonna lose points. We're not a great team, but we are happen to find ourselves in a league that's actually unbelievably poor this season.
Yeah.
So we're going to have results like that. And actually, to sort of, you know, whatever you think about the penalty, to actually grab a point there.
Yeah, and
I was reasonably content with it final.
Yeah, whistle. And you can take the positives from what was a very tricky game.
Key players as well.
No Reznicek, two massive injuries. Coming back from a goal down, which we don't do that often. So yeah, it's fine. It's fine. There's no need to panic. Mm-hmm. So yeah. I think that's probably about it.
Just one thing for people at the end, because I think there's a couple of days left on this. You might remember when we were playing Sparta B, we had special commemorative shirts made emitting the letters of blood types in order to encourage blood donation. So those match-worn squad shirts are all available right now at auction on this Zbrojovka website. It's the first thing you see when you go into fczbrno.cz. And I think you have still a couple of days to register a bid to get the match-worn and signed T-shirt strip of your favourite Zbrojovka player for this season. So if you'd like something that might be something nice for your sports bar or your man cave or whatever, you could do a lot worse than that sort of curiosity.
Yeah.
And quite a cool collector's item.
Yeah, good shout, actually, yeah. All right, so that's it from us. Thanks very much for listening, as always. Find us on the socials at Zbrojovcast on Facebook and Twitter. And we'll see you at the games or around. If you're in Brno, we will see you online or various other sources if you're not. Otherwise, that's us. Speak to you again soon.
Bye.
They're justified.